Well, it's great to be here with you tonight. Thank you for Pastor Shelley for allowing me to preach. And thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, to be able to preach His Word. It's definitely an honor and a privilege. And it's great to be with the brethren tonight in church. Amen.
Amen.
So we're here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And the theme verse for the sermon tonight is there in verse number 16. It says right here, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And the title of tonight's sermon is Examine Thyself. Examine Thyself. And Paul is admonishing Timothy here. This is an epistle to Timothy. And Paul says in verse number 15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." So he's telling Timothy here, he says, you need to meditate upon these things. The things he's telling him in this epistle, says you need to meditate about it. You need to think about it. And that way, it says, and especially right there in verse number 16, it said, take heed unto thyself. It says you need to watch out for yourself. You need to make sure that your walk with God is strong, because other people are watching you, Timothy. Timothy is a pastor, and he is responsible. He's guiding other people. And Paul's warning him that, hey, you need to take heed unto thyself. You need to examine yourself to make sure that you're walking with the Lord, because he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. So if you do this, to continue in it, you're going to save yourself. So if you have a strong walk with the Lord, you're going to save yourself. But not only that, you're going to save the people that hear thee. See, other people who are watching you or following you or listening to the preaching of you, Timothy, you're going to save them too. So it's important for Timothy to have a strong walk with the Lord, because he's going to be influencing other people. And I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Because it's really easy to look at other people. And it starts to lift us up with pride when we're focused on other people and not taking heed unto ourselves. Because it's really easy to look down at other people, right? You look at other people's lives like, yeah, this guy's wicked. He never prays. He never reads the Bible. He's a fornicator. He's drunker. It's really easy to judge other people, right? But it's really hard to examine yourself. To take a look in the mirror and look at yourself. Because that takes humility. That takes humility to look at yourself and examine your own life. And be like, realize, I got problems. I have my own sins I'm dealing with. I need to examine myself. That way I don't destroy my own life. And that way I don't destroy other people's lives too. Because the sins I commit are going to influence other people in a negative way as well. And every human being has this problem. That's part of the flesh, where you're just so quick to condemn other people and you don't look at yourself. And really, we all need to take a look in the mirror every day. Especially every now and then, but every day we need to take a look in the mirror and say, am I doing that which is right? Proving your own life, examining your own life to make sure what you're doing is according to the will of God. That what you're doing in your life is according to what the Bible says. And that's why I think it's really important. Because in Mark chapter 9, we have an example of this. And this is about the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says there in Mark chapter number 9, verse number 33, says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" This is Jesus speaking. So he's talking to the disciples. "But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." So the disciples, as they're going along the way, they're just talking amongst themselves, right? You got John, you got Peter, you got these great, you know, apostles of Jesus Christ, right? But along the way, they're disputing among themselves who's the greatest. They're like, hey, you know, John, he's the one who Jesus loved. You know, he's the beloved of Jesus. He must be the greatest. Like, but, you know, Peter, he's also, you know, he's always with Peter and John and James. Like, they're always together. That's like the, so they're disputing among themselves who's the best disciple, right? And so when Jesus asks them, he's like, hey, what were y'all talking about over there? It's like, it's kind of like they got caught. Like, what were y'all talking about over there? And verse number 35, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So they're disputing among themselves who's the greatest. And then Jesus is like, hey, what were y'all talking about over there? But they held their peace. They didn't want to tell Jesus that what they were talking about. Because they're talking about, it's an attribute of pride. They're like, hey, who's the greatest? Who's the best one? Just comparing themselves amongst themselves. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to give you a scripture on why it's wrong, why what the disciples were doing here is wrong. And here's something to think about too. These are the disciples. These are ones following the Lord Jesus Christ for years. This is like Mark 9, so it's not the full 3 years of their, but they're with Jesus for a significant amount of time. And if the apostles are getting caught up in this, we can too. So it's something we need to take heed to too, because we can start comparing among ourselves, hey, who's the best person at Steadfast Baptist Church? And Jesus rebukes them. He does it softly, so maybe it's more of a reproof. But he says, if you desire to be first, you're actually going to be last. See, the one who's truly first in the sight of God, the greatest in the sight of God, that person is the servant. That person who is serving other people, that's first in the sight of God. If you personally desire to be first and you want to be the best, and it's not bad, you should try and be the best Christian you should be, but if your whole goal for that is just try to be the best where you think you're better than other people, then you got a pride problem. You need to check yourself. Because if that's your goal, I just want to be the best just for the sake of being the best so I can look down at other people, say I'm better than them, that's not a servant. That's an attribute of pride. And God says, you're going to be least of all. You have that attitude or you just want to be known as I'm the best. I'm the best servant at Steadfast Baptist Church. I go soul winning the most at Oklahoma, Steadfast Baptist Church, right? I go soul winning more than everybody here. I do 75% of the soul winning here. Comparing yourself among yourselves, thinking you're the best person at Steadfast Baptist Church, you got a heart problem. You need to examine yourself. Are you really serving the Lord out of sincerity? Or do you just want to be viewed in other people's eyes? Do they think that you're a great person? You're in 2 Corinthians 10. Look at verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what it means to not be wise? It means you're stupid. It means you're foolish. If I said, hey, this person is not wise, you know what I'm saying? They're stupid. They're foolish. They're ignorant. And that's what Paul is saying. He's like, hey, we don't even dare to make ourselves of the number. We're not just trying to be of the number of them that just commend themselves. They exalt themselves. They think they're great. And isn't that what the world does? The world, they just want to commend themselves. They just want to exalt themselves that they're the best person, right? You have people like Kanye West. I'm the best, artist that's ever lived. In my generation or 1,000 years ago, I'm the best, who's ever lived. Because the world, they just want to exalt themselves. They just want to commend themselves. Basketball, football, it doesn't matter what sport. Doesn't matter. Everywhere in the world, that's an attribute of the flesh. I'm the best basketball player out there in the world. Nobody's better than me. I make all the three-pointers. I make all the touchdowns. I'm the best, quarterback in the world. That's an attribute. That's pride. And Paul's saying, look, I don't even dare to do that. I wouldn't dare to commend myself with those people. I don't want to be like those people comparing themselves on the best person. That's pride. And God will humble you. He says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So let's apply that to us. Look, as you as a Christian, you're going to start comparing yourself amongst other Christians. You're not wise. You're stupid. You're foolish. You're not a servant anymore at that point. Now you just want to be the best. You just want to be known, I'm the best Christian. I'm the most sold out Christian. I go soul winning the most. Look, God's going to humble you. You will get a base. And that's why you need to examine yourself. Are you serving for the right reason? Are you serving to serve yourself? Or are you serving to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to John chapter number 21. Because this concept is all over the Bible. I mean, there's so much scripture about examining yourself, not getting puffed up, one against another. I mean, I can't even fit all the verses in one sermon, but I want to try to get as many as we can. So you're turning to John chapter number 21. But we already saw that it's foolish to just start comparing yourselves among yourselves. And that's what the disciples were doing. They're just disputing among themselves, hey, who's the best disciple out here? Who's the best one? That's wrong. They shouldn't have done that. And that's why Jesus is like, look, he takes a child to him. Because the child who has the mindset of a servant, right, they're going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The faith of a child. That's why he brings a child. He's like, hey, this child, they're going to be exalted in heaven because they're humble, they're lowly, they're a servant. And if you have that mindset where you just want to be the best, you want to show off, think you're better than everybody else, you're going to be least of all. So if you really want to be great, if you want God to greatly use you, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to have the mind of a servant, not trying to exalt yourself and just thinking you're better than everybody else. Look at John chapter 21, look at verse number 18. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. See, Jesus had just told Peter, this is how you're going to die. This is what your life's going to be like at the end of your life. And he tells that to Peter, and then Peter looks at John. He's like, describes John, this is a disciple who Jesus loved, and he's like, hey, Jesus, well, what about this disciple? What about this guy? And Jesus replies to Peter. He said, well, if I will that he tarries till I come, what does that matter to you? What does it matter that John is, what does John's life matter to you? He said, for you to follow me, Peter, why are you worried about John and what he's doing for me? If I want John to do nothing for me for the rest of his life till I come, so about tarrying till I come, that John's just not doing anything. It's just an example. It's not like he wants John to do nothing. But he's saying, if I will, if I want John just to not do anything for me till I come back, what does that matter to you? You need to focus on yourself, Peter. Amen. Examine yourself, Peter. Don't worry about John. John has his own walk with God. Don't focus on that. You need to examine yourself. You need to look at yourself. Am I serving God? Am I following Jesus? Look, it's good to try and edify others. We want to look at other people's lives and help the brethren, help other people get out of sin. So it's not like we never look at other people. It's not like we never judge other people. But our main focus should be on ourselves. Examine yourself. Am I serving God like I should be? Because like I said, it's really easy to look at others and condemn other people. Yeah, this person's wicked. But what about yourself? Start looking at yourself. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. And that's why the theme verse in 1 Timothy 4:16 is said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. See, if you focus on yourself, if you have a strong walk with God, you're going to be good. You're going to save yourself. You're going to be like Job. You're going to be tried, tested. You're going to be able to persevere and keep going, right? And other people, you're going to be able to help other people do the same thing. But if you don't do that, if you don't take heed unto yourself, you're going to go off the wrong path. And then other people are going to follow suit. And that's why it's so important for you to take heed unto yourself. Make sure that you're serving God like you should be. Don't be focused on other people. You think about like in an airplane. What do they tell you when the oxygen mask comes down? They tell you, hey, put it on yourself first. Don't put it on your child first. Don't put it on the person next to you. Put it on yourself first. Because you might start helping other people get their oxygen mask on, and then you don't. You don't make it. And what if, that's why they tell you to put it on yourself first, because what if you would have put on your mask first and now you're good? Well, now you can go save everybody else on the plane. But if you just go try to fumble it on, try to get one person that their oxygen mask on, and hopefully it works for them, and then you perish, and then everybody else, there are other people you could have saved. So that's just a practical example. That's why they have you do that. Yeah, you need to take care of yourself first. If you're going to help other people, you got to take care of yourself first. That way you'll be able to help other people. And the Bible speaks about this subject so much. It's going to be hard to fit it all in here, but in Proverbs 4, look at verse number 25. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know what he's saying? Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of thy feet. He didn't say, hey, go look at what he's doing. Look at his path. Examine his path. See, be worried about what he's doing. No, he says, ponder the path of my feet, of thy feet. What are you doing? See, if you're just so focused on other people's problems, their issues, you're going to end up crashing. Think of like if you're running in a race, right? Everybody's running together. What if the whole time you're running, just running past other people, you're not looking straight? You're just looking at everybody else running. What's going to happen to you? You're going to run into a pole. You know, you're just going to stumble, trip. I mean, you're not looking at what's in front of you. You're going to fail. Or how about like when you're driving down the road? We have lanes, right? Everybody's supposed to be in their own lane. What if I'm driving down the road, you know, ponder the path of my feet, I'm in my lane. What if I start looking over in other people's lane and I don't check what's in front of me? What's going to happen? I'm going to crash. Think about like when there's an accident, everybody's like rubbernecking. They're like, yeah, accident, everybody has to look, right? That's what, I hate that. Traffic, if somebody gets an accident, I feel sorry. I mean, it's terrible people getting accidents. But it's frustrating because whenever that happens, everybody just slows down and looks for no reason. They don't look the path in front of them. And more accidents can be caused from that. It's like they're paying attention. Oh, wow, that's a crazy accident. Boom! You weren't looking at your own path. Look, when you're on the road, this is a side note. When you're on the road, look in front of you. You're gonna hit something. So this applies, you know, in the literal sense, you need to watch where you're gonna go, especially on the road. But in the spiritual sense too, you need to look in front of you. Don't be so focused on other people's walk with God. Look, like I said, we want to edify and strengthen the brethren, but hey, we need to make sure we're doing that which is right first. How are you gonna take the mote out of your brother's eye when you got a beam out of your own eye? You need to ponder the path of thy feet. Look what you're doing. Are you walking with the Lord like you should? And you start examining yourself, you're going to realize, man, I got some work to do. I got some changes to make. But when you're looking at other people, you don't look at what you need to do. You're just condemning other people. Wow, look at this guy. He's doing this and he's doing this. You forget about yourself. You feel like, oh, man, you don't change anything about yourself. That's why it's so important that you examine yourself before you start looking and judging other people. Turn to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. So instead of looking at other people and what they're doing, consider this. What direction are you heading in? Are you in your lane? Or are you drifting off? Examine your life. Don't be so focused on other people. You're in Luke chapter number 12. I'd like you to look at verse number 15. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetous, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So Jesus is warning this guy. He's just concerned about money. He said, hey, my brother, you know, you need to get him to divide, you know, the inheritance with me. But Jesus says, hey, take heed. Watch out for yourself. You need to beware of covetousness because that's going to destroy you. Look, your life isn't about the abundance of things that you have. That's meaningless on the side of God. Your life has no value. And he says, you need to take heed. Examine yourself. Look, you need to make sure you're not after covetousness. That's what this guy's priorities was, right? He's, out of all the questions, like you have Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh in front of you, and you can ask him one question. What would it be? Hey, Jesus, will you come tell my brother to divide the spoil, to divide the inheritance? Out of all the questions you could ask Jesus, what was in this guy's heart? Covetousness. See, you need to take heed unto thyself. You need to beware. You need to examine yourself. Make sure, am I after covetousness? There's so many warnings about this in the Bible. Turn over to Luke chapter 21, just a few chapters later. Luke chapter number 21. It says in verse number 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares." And the day he's referring to is talking about the day of Jesus Christ, his second coming. But he says to take heed to yourself. Because whenever he comes, you don't want your heart to be overcharged with surfeiting. It's not like surfing. It's talking about abundance, with drunkenness, with overconsumption, the cares of this life. When Jesus comes back, do you just want to be up with the world, caught up in the things of this world, the cares of this world? You're not serving God. You're not keeping his commandments, and then he comes back. You'd be pretty embarrassed. That's why he said, take heed unto yourself. You need to watch out for yourself. We need to make sure that we're prepared for the coming of the Lord. That's why he was warning them here, hey, you need to take heed unto yourself, lest that day comes upon you unawares. And you're not realizing the end times, you know, destruction's coming, tribulation's coming, you know, Jesus is going to come back. If you're just caught up with the cares of this life, you're not examining yourself, that day's going to come upon you unawares. You need to take heed. Turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. So that's the kind of general theme for the sermon tonight, is that we shouldn't be so concerned with other people's Christianity and thinking that we're better than somebody else. Look, we're all sinners. We all have our own problems we struggle with, and it's easy just to want to look at other people and condemn them. It's hard to examine yourself. And we don't want to think that we're greater than other people, because that's up to God. Let God make that decision. Because if you make that decision in your heart, now you're lifted up with pride, that's going to lead you to destruction. Saying things like, did you see what he did? Look at this person. Look at all their sins. Trying to examine other people's sins. The Bible says an ungodly man diggeth up evil. The ungodly, the gossip, the railer, they just want to examine other people and point out all their sins. You don't see the railers pointing out themselves. Doesn't happen. They're filled with pride. They're just looking at other people. See how bad this person is? But you, with the outside perspective, you're like, well, look at you. Because you're seeing clearly. You're not caught up in all that pride that they're dealing with. See, they're not examining themselves. Because if they examine themselves, maybe they wouldn't be so quick to judge the other person. This person's railing and say all these things and gossiping. It's like, but they're doing it at the same time. Didn't examine themselves, like, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing that. I'm not. So that's why it's so important that we examine ourselves. Or looking at other people and condemning them, saying things like, hey, you see what he did? Start gossiping, start talking about other people, or like, my kids would never do that. It's like just talking down to other people, thinking that you're better, you're teaching your children better. It's just this attribute of pride, where you just think you're better, you're the best Christian in the world. Nothing can stop you. You know, we should care about other people. The Bible says to provoke one another unto love and good works. So I'm not saying, hey, don't be concerned with anybody else. But it comes with judging and sin. You need to examine yourself first. That way you're doing that which is right. So that way you're not acting out in hypocrisy. That way you're not doing the same things that they're doing, right? So that's why first you want to purge yourself. That way you can help other people. So we should care about others serving God, but what I'm addressing in the sermon is not being puffed up one against another. So that's what it said in Romans chapter 12. Because why is it important to examine ourselves? Why is it important in the first place? Because it will destroy you. Getting lifted up with pride, that's going to end up destroying you. And you're not going to be great in the sight of God. You think that you're great, you exalt yourself, and then you turn out to be underneath everybody else. It got a backfire, didn't it? That's why you want to have a humble mindset. That way God doesn't have to humble you. And here are some of the dangers of examining other people's lives. So point number one is some of the dangers of examining other people. Number one is that it can cause you to get lifted up with pride. And whenever you get lifted up with pride, it's going to destroy you. You're in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So he says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Because it's easy to have that, right? You think you're so great, but he's saying, hey, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. You need to think soberly. You need to think clearly, because you're not as great as you think you are. We all have things we need to work on. And he compares it to being, look, if you're saved, you're a part of the body of Christ. We're all members of the same body. So why am I going to sit here and judge other Christians and condemn their own walk with God, puffing myself up, thinking that I'm so great? Look, we're all members of the same body. Look, you're sitting there condemning the hand. You're the foot. It's the same body. Why are you going to sit there condemning the hand? We're all members of the same body. Well, aren't we all a part of Christ? So why am I going to sit here just condemning other Christians? And this is kind of in general. Obviously, there's a time to call people out. There's a time for open rebuke. Look, there's some sins we do need to call out. But I'm just talking about in general, especially the little sins or things that aren't even necessarily sin, and just condemning other people, just doctrines of men. Why are you going to sit there judging your brother for something, especially if it's not even a commandment of God? What does that show about your heart? Well, you think you're better than them because you're doing something that's not even in the Bible? I mean, what kind of attitude in that? So whenever you start comparing yourselves to others, you start thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought. You start comparing yourself to this guy, and then you think, well, I read the Bible more than him, so I guess I'm better than him. But when God looks at both of your lives, does he feel the same way? Maybe he doesn't. You might have that one area good. Great, you read the Bible for an hour a day, and then you're condemning this guy because he only reads for 5 or 15 minutes. Like, well, I'm so great. I read the Bible an hour a day. He only reads for 15 minutes. I'm so wonderful. How does God view that? God probably likes the other guy who's humble and lowly and consistently reading his Bible than the other guy who's super prideful, doing the works for the wrong reason, getting puffed up one against the brethren. So you might think that you have a great walk with God, and then you start comparing yourself among yourselves. You think you're so holy. You think you're so righteously. You think you're so righteous. But how does God view you? Because that's really what matters. Because you start comparing yourself among yourselves, you have a different, you know, you have a different stat chart than God. God's looking at the whole picture. And so that's why we need to take heed. Turn to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter 14. Because we're all part of the same body. We're saved. And that's why and rather than trying to puff up one against another and comparing ourselves, try to be helping other Christians. Trying to strengthen their walk with God, not condemning them. Especially for every little thing that they do. Because if we followed you and every little thing that you did, how would you compare? Probably not. So that's why we need to take a lot of heed. You're in Romans chapter 14. Look at verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And saying here, now this is something that's not a sin. But it's saying, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not doubtful disputations. Saying, if somebody is like a vegetarian, they want to live that lifestyle. Look, it's not a commandment to eat meat. He said every creature of God is good. So if somebody wants to eat a particular way, it's not a sin. You can't judge them for that sin. You say, well, he's a vegetarian. He's not right with God. I eat meat like a man. You know, hey, I'm all for meat. Yeah, bring the steak, bring the hamburgers. But I'm not going to sit here and judge another Christian or somebody in the world because he chooses to eat a vegetarian. He's a vegetarian. He lives that lifestyle. It's not even a sin. Why would I sit here and condemn him for that? He said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Look, to his own master he standeth or falleth. His walk with God, he's responsible for his own walk with God. Why am I going to sit here and condemn him for things that aren't even a sin? And vice versa. The vegetarian has no right to judge me. Amen. If I want to eat meat, they're wicked for condemning me for eating meat. So it goes both ways. So any vegetarians out there, hey, don't start judging people for eating meat. Look, who art thou that judges another man's servant? I'm a servant of God. I'm not your servant. God said I can eat whatever I want, so I'm going to eat meat. I'm a man. I like meat. I'll eat vegetables because they're healthy. But look, I'm not doing that 100%, right? So, but who are you to stand in judgment of one of God's servants? Especially over things that aren't even that important. Especially over things that aren't even a sin. Like, especially over small things like food. You're going to sit here condemning other, comparing yourselves among yourselves. Well, this person eats this way and this person eats this way. It's like, really? Who cares? I don't care what you eat. Eat whatever you want. Now, a biblical example of this, I won't have you go there. Just stay in Romans 14, but I'll just explain the story real quick just for sake of time. But the biblical example of this, we see Miriam and Aaron. And I'll just read it for you in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So they're sitting there condemned. And keep in mind, too, Miriam and Aaron, that was her brother. Moses is their brother. They're actually related. And they're going to sit there condemning Moses because he had married an Ethiopian. Now, where in the Bible does it say that you can't marry somebody based upon where they're from? The Bible doesn't mention that. The Bible wants you to marry somebody who's saved. That you should marry somebody who's in the Lord. That's all God cares. If you're saved, God wants you to marry a saved person, but he doesn't care where that person is from. What does it matter where you're from? It's like, you had no control over that, where you were born. It's like, if you're born in America, like, did you decide that? Like, I'm an American. It's like, you had no control over that. God picked where you're from. It's like, where does it matter where somebody is from? And they're going to sit there and try to condemn Moses for, well, he married an Ethiopian woman. It's like, who cares? Why are you going to bring that up? And they started to get lifted up with pride. And they say, well, did God only speak by Moses? Didn't he speak by us too? Just comparing them. Aren't we like Moses? God spake by us too. We're prophets too, right? They started getting lifted up with pride. And the Lord heard it. God heard their murmuring. God heard their complaints. And God rebukes them very strongly. In Numbers 12:8, it says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, I speak to Moses face to face. God loved Moses. He was faithful in all his house. He was a great servant of God. And who are you to stand in judgment of my servant? He said, why weren't you afraid to speak ill of my servant? And we can apply that to us. Look, if somebody's doing things that aren't even a sin, it's just different, they married an Ethiopian person, Who are you to start judging them? That's not a commandment of God. And God's going to get angry with you. And what did he do to Miriam? He gave her leprosy. That's how angry God is when he sees you murmuring and talking bad about other brethren. He gets really angry. And think about you parents. And I have a brother, so I saw how it was with my parents. How do parents feel when brothers and sisters are fighting? How do parents act? They love that? Are they really excited? What happens? Brothers and sisters fighting? Parents get angry, right? And does just one get punished? No. Normally it's both kids. Oh, you're fighting with your brother or sister? Okay. I'm going to punish you both. So we need to be careful fighting and getting in strife with other brethren, because God sees you fighting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. He's going to punish you both. So that's why we need to... It said, love the brother. Not trying to fight over these things that don't matter. Now, obviously, there are times, hey, there's sins we need to call out. And there's times, hey, there will be separation, especially especially over important doctrines. So that's not what I'm addressing. I'm addressing small things that don't matter. You need to be very careful how you judge the brethren, because God might judge you. He said, why weren't you afraid to speak ill of Moses? You should be afraid to speak ill of faithful servants of God. You're still in Romans chapter 14. Go ahead and read verse number 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, God holds you accountable for your own life. You're responsible for how you serve God. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we know we're saved, so we're never going to be condemned for our sins. We're never going to be judged for our sins where we'll go to hell. That's the whole point of being saved. But here's the thing. He said, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what he's referring to is how you lived. Are you going to be rewarded well for how you lived, or are you not? So you're going to stand before Christ one day, and he's going to look at the good that you've done, and he's going to make a judgment of what you're going to receive. Like I said, hey, we're not going to receive any punishment. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and be chastised at all. But he's going to look at your life saying, well, look, you're just fighting with your brethren. You're sinning all the time. You're puffed up. You weren't serving. You weren't a servant. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you might not get what you're expecting. You might have thought you were such a great person. So God holds you accountable for your own life. That's why we don't want to examine ourselves. We don't want to look at other people, because what that person does, they're held accountable for their life. We need to hold ourselves accountable for our own life and not be so focused on what other people are doing. Focus on yourself. Like I said, big sins should be called out. We saw that Paul rebukes Peter in Galatians. He sees Peter that he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. He's just going to eat with the Jews. Look, Paul called him out openly. He called him out in front of everybody. And so there are times for that. There's a time for open rebuke. Look, there's in 1 Corinthians, it talks about there's certain times where people get kicked out of church. So I'm not saying we should never judge anybody. It's not a blanket, you know, hey, don't judge anybody. You know, nothing's ever wrong. Love everybody. There's never going to be strife. There's never going to be drama. Look, that's going to happen. But we need to try and keep that to a minimum. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we're not seeking after strife, and we don't want to be fighting over things that don't matter. We want to examine ourselves to make sure we're right, that we're not puffing up ourselves. So why would you spend your time judging your brethren or thinking you're better than everybody else? Why would you think about that? Like, what kind of a wicked heart would that be, that you leave today, you go home, and you start thinking about how good you are? I'm the best servant at Steadfast Baptist Church. I read my Bible more than everybody there. I pray more than everybody there. It's like, do you really think you're going to be a servant that God blesses abundantly? No. That's a puffed up mentality. So why would you just spend your time judging your brethren like that? I mean, who thinks like that? That's coming from a wicked heart. Examining other people in the church and thinking that you're better from everybody else, you got the wrong heart. And who did this? Specifically, recently, Bo Ballard, right? From Oklahoma. He said things like that. He said things like that, like, I do 75% of the soul winning at the church. Like, who goes home from soul winning? Hey, we just got a bunch of people saved today. You know, praise the Lord. He's been blessing our church so much. We have a bunch of people in our church going out soul winning. Dozens of people are getting saved. And then you go about home and think about, yeah, I do 75% of that. There would be nothing without me. I'm the most faithful servant here. I go every single Sunday. I never miss it. I should be the head preacher. That's the heart of wicked people. People are just lifted up with pride. Look, and don't get me wrong, you could end up that way too. You start getting lifted up with pride, you can do some really horrible things. That's why you need to be very cautious how you judge the other brethren. Start thinking you're better than thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Look, I'm not in charge of how this church is led. The pastor's in charge of that. So why am I going to sit here and condemn Pastor Shelley for how this church is led? I'm not in charge for that. He's responsible for that. You're sitting here condemning him for anything he does, any decision. He's the leader for a reason. Why would I say you're not in charge of that? He's in charge. He's held accountable to God. So why are you going to sit here judging for things that he does? He's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ for how he lived. So don't be examining other people so much. Examine yourself. Look, I'm not in charge of telling you how you run your home. You're the man of your home. I'm not going to sit here and boss you around and tell you what to do. That's your wife. You're leading your wife. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, your wife, how y'all should live. Look, the preaching is going to cover stuff like that, but it's like there's no authority for that as a preacher. Look, I'm held accountable for myself. I need to examine myself. We don't rule over other people like that. And so you don't want to think you're such a great Christian because you might not be as much as you think you are. I think about it like this. Let's say you read the Bible for like an hour a day and you think you're just wonderful now because you have a lot of wisdom. But let's say you're not applying that. Was it profitable? You think you're so great because you read the Bible for an hour a day, but what if it didn't do anything? You weren't using it. An example I can think of, like on Wednesdays, it's with my job, it's harder to make it on time. So I have to kind of rush at work, make sure. But when I think about it, I'm trying to get to church as fast as possible. So what if I'm like trying to drive down the highway really fast so I can make it so I get to church on time, right? So let's say I'm driving down the highway and then somebody's slow in front of me. And I get angry at them, I'm cussing at them, and whatever. Throughout the day, I'm trying to get to church as fast as possible, so I'm just being rude and mean and short with everybody. I just gotta make it to church. Did my Bible reading or church profit me very much? When I'm just getting angry at everybody else, like, do you see what I'm talking about? Like, not applying things in the Bible, it's like, I gotta do whatever I can to make it to church, but then you're just a jerk to everybody all day. You're just a jerk to all your employees. Your employees, if you're the boss, you're just your coworkers. You're just a jerk to everybody else. Sorry, I can't talk to you or fellowship with you or love you or be nice to you at all because I got to read the Bible. It's like you're not really applying the biblical teaching, right? So that's why we need to examine our own heart. Are we doing it for the right reason? Are we getting puffed up? Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. So instead of judging other people so much, let God be the judge. Look, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to be the one to judge. And other people might get rewarded way more than you. You might say you read the Bible for an hour a day, you pray for an hour a day, and you think you're so righteous. And then that widow threw in three mites, and God looks at her. She's the great one. So you might have your own standard for how great a Christian should be, but really it's up to God. So don't be looking so much at other people's lives and condemning them and thinking you're better than them. Look, God's going to be the one judging that. He's going to prove all your works. You might have done a lot of things, but they're just consumed up in the fire. That's why you need to be careful. It says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, before you fall, you first start off getting prideful. You get lifted up with pride, and then what happens? You get destroyed. You're looking at other people's problems, condemning other people, and then you end up getting destroyed because you weren't pondering the path of your feet. You start thinking too highly of yourself, get ready to fall because it's going to happen. You start getting puffed up. And we see a biblical example of this. We see Saul, he's comparing himself to David. You're in 1 Samuel 18. Look at number 6. It says, "And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and instruments of music." This is a great time, right? Just won a battle, everybody's singing, happy. And the women answered one to another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Look at this King Saul getting lifted up with pride. He starts comparing himself. He sees other, they just won a battle. Everything's great. People are returning from battle. The ladies are singing about it. It's a time of rejoicing. And then they mention that David killed more people than Saul. Wow, David, they're saying that David's such a good person. What else is he going to get? The kingdom? Any item. And his pride got him so puffed up. David's sitting there playing music for him, for the evil spirit to depart from him. And that evil spirit apparently didn't depart because he takes a javelin and he tries to throw it and kill David. That's what pride will end up making you, that's what pride will end up doing to you. It'll start making you hate and despise other people, puffing yourself up. Other people who are doing great works for God, and you start hating them, despising them. Why is this other person getting such admiration? Why is this other person, you know, being exalted? Look at me. Why are they only ascribing to me thousands? And you start hating the brethren. And so when we start getting lifted up with pride, one against another, that's going to cause hatred. And Saul tried to kill David. He eyed him from that day forward. Turn to Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2. In Proverbs 25:27, it says, it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Look, don't eat a lot of honey. It's going to make you fat, okay? It's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. You start searching out your own glory, you think you're so great, thinking how great of a Christian you are, it's not glory. That's going to end up puffing you up. You think you're doing so great. Look, you need to examine yourself, see what you can improve, not to see how great you are. Talks about also, let another man praise thee. Start searching your own glory, praising yourself. You know, I'm such a great person. I'm such a great Christian. That's going to lead to your fall. It's going to lead to your destruction. In Luke 18, in verse number 11, it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that of all that I possess. And Jesus talked about this publican that he went to his house unrighteous. The publican who he's condemning, he went to his house righteous. But look at the heart of this Pharisee. God, I thank you that I'm such a great person. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of everything. I give money to the church. I'm glad, Lord. I thank you, God. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not as this publican. It's like, look at this guy's heart. This is a wicked person. And so that's why we shouldn't ever search our own glory. We don't want to end up like that, where you start thinking, huh, I'm so right with God. I tithe. I preach the gospel. I read the Bible. Look at this other guy. He rarely even comes to church. This guy's a wicked person. Huh. Start getting lifted up with pride. You need a heart check right there. And it's stupid to judge somebody else's walk with God, because you might think that you're better than somebody else by your own standards, but God might have something else. You know, you think somebody who doesn't read the Bible as much as you think they're a worse Christian, you're comparing yourself to them. What if they don't read as much, but they show more love than you? Yeah, you look at this person, well, yeah, he like never reads his Bible. But what if he's loving other people more than you? He obeys his boss at work. He's good to people. He's kind-hearted. But he only reads the Bible for 15 minutes, and you're going to condemn him? You think you're better because you read for an hour? It's stupid. That's not charity. That's not love. So God judges us based on different standards than we might think in our flesh. So not only, I said it can lead to, if we start examining other people, we talked about in point number one, it can lead to you being prideful. But a couple other things that can lead to your destruction, it leads to hypocrisy and distraction. If you start examining other people so much, it leads to hypocrisy and distraction. You're in Romans chapter number 2. Look at verse number 19. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? He's saying, about these Jews, they had the law, and they're just so confident. They're a guide of the blind. They're a light to this world, right? They're an instructor of the foolish. They're just teaching babies, right? They're just such great people. And that's what it's rebuking. It said, hey, you're teaching another. Are you going to teach yourself first? Are you going to examine yourself first? You're going to judge somebody else for stealing, but then you steal? You're going to judge somebody else for committing adultery, and then you're committing adultery? Aren't you going to teach yourself first? Aren't you going to examine yourself first? You're going to condemn other people for watching TV, and then you watch filth on YouTube? You're going to start condemning other people for what they watch, and then you're watching stuff you shouldn't? You need to examine yourself. Thou, therefore, that teaches another, teach yourself first. Turn to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. You probably quote it because it just gets said so much in Matthew chapter 7, right? Judge not, that you be not judged. But we'll go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter number 7. In verse number 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? And behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Say, look, judge not that you be not judged. And that's to be our standard, is that we should judge as little as possible. Obviously, yeah, there is a time to judge. There's a time to condemn. But you got to be very careful for how you judge, because you're going to be held to that same standard. So if you're going to start judging other people, you better examine yourself to make sure you're right first, that you don't have a big beam in your eye, because you have to hold yourself to that same standard if you're going to start judging other people. Because it's going to be measured to you again. You start judging other people for how they live, God's going to judge you in that same way. You're going to sit there condemning other people, and then God's going to judge you like that. So if you're going to judge somebody else, you better make sure you're clean first. And it shouldn't be an attitude of, well, I'm better than you. It should be a, hey, I want to help this person get that mote out of their eye. This person is struggling with this sin. I want to help them. It's not that, well, he's doing this sin, I'm better than him. At least I'm not like this publican over here, right? That should be the attitude is love. I want to help this person. I know that that sin is going to cause destruction on their life. I want to help them, not like, well, he's doing that sin, so I'm better than him. That's pride. So there's usually hypocrisy when examining others, but it also causes you to be distracted. I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. So not only will examining others lead you to getting prideful, a lot of times you'll be being a hypocrite at the same time, but it also causes you to get distracted. Like we talked about in the beginning, driving down the road, looking at other people, you're going to get distracted. It says in 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Say, hey, don't let anybody, hey, don't murder anybody, okay? Please don't murder anybody. Don't be a thief, you know, don't steal from people. Don't be an evildoer. But he finishes off, he says, hey, don't be a busybody in other people's matters. Why are you worrying and getting caught up with other people's lives so much, being a busybody in other people's matter? Like, that's their life. They have their own walk with God. You need to examine yourself. You need to keep yourself in check. It says in 1 Timothy 5:13, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. It's talking about women just going out house to house, just being tattlers and busybodies, just talking about, have no discretion, speaking things which they ought not. Just being a busybody. Just being distracted with other, just gossiping, talking about other people so much. You stop looking at other people and talking about other people. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. So in this context, it's with the men too. They're just not working. They're not going to their job. They're just working on it all. They're just busybodies. They're not doing any kind of work. Just like, it looks like you're working. It looks like you're busy. You look like you're busy talking. but you're not doing anything. Your wheels are spinning and you ain't going nowhere. Just being a busybody, just being distracted in other people's matters. And we don't want to be a busybody. Just examining other people's lives so much, just focusing on them and all their problems, because it's a sin. He says, hey, let none of you suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. And it's so easy to get caught up with that. At work, everybody's talking about other people. In church, everybody's just talking about other people, just being a busybody in matters that they don't need to know. They don't need to talk about. You don't always need to be a busybody in other people's matters. There are some things you don't need to know. And probably the easiest way we can commit this sin today is just Facebook. And I don't think Facebook is wrong. There's lots of godly people that use Facebook in a godly manner. And everybody in here, I'm sure, is capable of doing that. But one of the problems with Facebook is that it can cause you to be a busybody in other men's matters. There's lots of information that you would have never known if you weren't on there. So I don't think anybody's a bad person if you use Facebook. What I'm saying, if you use it, you need to make sure you're not a busybody in other men's matters. Because normally, when you're on that stuff, you're learning information about other people's sins and condemning other people and like this stuff that, look, you need to worry about yourself. Sitting there condemning everybody else on Facebook. And normally, once you read like a bunch of Facebook posts, you're not looking for like, you know, the nice verses. They posted this verse. You're looking for the fleshly stuff. You're looking for the carnal stuff. You're looking at the stuff that, hey, you want to type that comment on, right? You want to have this keyboard warrior. You want to just have this battle. You want to have this comment battle. That's normal. That it can lead you to the flesh. You don't want to be a busybody in other people's matters. So if that's a problem for you, then maybe you shouldn't use Facebook. Like I said, you can use it responsibly. I'm going to say, take heed. If you're going to use it, make sure, hey, you're not getting caught up in everybody else's dirty laundry. You don't need to know everything in everybody else's life. There's some things, hey, you don't need to know. So we don't want to be a busybody as well. So instead, we should focus on our life. So that's the cure. We looked at, you know, why it's wrong to look at other people, the destruction it can lead you to. It can lead you to being prideful. It'll lead you to be a hypocrite. It causes you to be distracted. And those dangers will cause your life to be destroyed. So the cure for that is instead focus on yourself. Ponder the path of thy feet. You know, see where you are you going in the right direction. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4. I'll have you turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Paul said this. For 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." See, Paul, he finished his course. Paul had his own race he was racing. Paul's not racing for Timothy. Paul's not racing for other people. He ran his own race. He said, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I ran my race. I finished my course." Who is Paul focused on? He's focused on what he was doing. Paul was trying to do the maximum he could do. He wasn't focused on other people. He wasn't trying to just lift up himself and compare himself and thinking he's the best. I'm just trying to do my course. I'm just focused on my course, my walk with God. And I kept the faith. He finished his course. It says in Psalm 26:1, Psalm and David, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." That was a prayer of David. He didn't say, "Hey, Lord, examine this guy. Look at this guy, O Lord." Didn't he say that? He said, "God, examine me. Look at my life. Judge me, O Lord. Hey, don't judge him. I'm not worried about him. Judge me, God. What do I need to do? What do I need to fix? Do I need to read my Bible more? Do I need to pray? Do I need to go soul winning? Do I need to get this sin in my life? Do I need to stop getting drunk? Do I need to stop railing? Do I need to stop lying? Examine me, O Lord." Stop trying to condemn other people. Get yourself right first. Get your own heart right first. David, he asked God to examine himself. That should be your prayer. Not looking at other people. "God, help him to get all the sin out of his life." No, "God, help me to get out of the sin out of my life. Purge me, O God. Help me to get right with you. Help my heart. Clean my hands. Create in me a clean heart." That's what the prayer is for. Himself. It's not a publican prayer. God, help this sinner. He's such a bad person. You need to help him get right. He's doing all these things. No, the godly prayer is, hey, examine me, O Lord. What can I fix? What can I get right? Titus 2:7, it says, in all things show in thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So in all things, show yourself a pattern of good works. You need to have your own pattern of good works. Not worried so much about other people's pattern of good works. You got to make sure that you're on the right track. If you really care about other people and you want them to have a pattern of good works, well, why don't you check yourself first, make sure you got a pattern of good works. Instead of trying to condemn other people because they don't, make sure that you got it right first. Work on yourself. It says in Philippians 2, verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is amazing scripture right here. It says, this was the mind of Christ, God in the flesh. He was in the form of God, and he is equal with God. He didn't think he ought to be equal with God, but he didn't make himself of no reputation. Jesus wasn't trying to just have this huge reputation on earth. He'd go do a miracle. He'd go in the alley where nobody could see and heal somebody. And he said, hey, don't tell anybody. He wasn't trying to gain any reputation. He didn't have any pride. He's God in the flesh. He took himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. He said, let that mind be in you. Not trying to puff yourself up. You think you're so great. You just want to have this great reputation. No, you want to take upon the form of a servant. How good can I serve? How well can I serve others? What can I do for others? Not sitting there condemning others. What can I do to help them? How can I serve them better? How can I serve God better? It says in verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Rather than condemning your brethren, why don't you esteem them better than yourself? Because if you think that you're better than them, you're getting prideful. I'm better than this person. I'm esteeming myself better. He says, hey, you should esteem others better than yourselves. This is a good Christian right here. That's my brother. He's doing good. He's serving the Lord well. God is highly blessing him. God is exalting him. He's a good person. Not thinking, well, yeah, but he did this one thing wrong, so, you know, I'm going to condemn him. Examine yourself. Are you going to judge yourself to that same standard where you do one thing wrong and now you're a horrible, wicked person? Esteem others better than yourself. Don't be puffed up against your brethren. Just try and be the best servant that you can be. So don't think of how others can improve. How can you improve? What can you do better? How can you be a better friend? What are things you can do? Not condemning other people because they're a bad friend. How can you be a better spouse? How can you love your wife more? How can you love your husband more? What are things that you can do? Examine your heart. See what you can do so you can better serve God better. So let us give grace to others and examine ourselves. And I'll finish it with that verse we started on. Take heed unto thyself and in the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. With that, we'll close it in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we have so many brethren. I just pray you would help us not to be unwise and compare ourselves among ourselves. Lord, we're not perfect. We make mistakes every day. And help us not to get puffed up and prideful against our brethren, but help us to have grace and compassion. Help there to be peace amongst the brethren. Help us all to exhort and edify one another so we can all serve you to the best of our ability. And help us, Lord, to have a right heart where we would, before we start judging other people, that we would look at our own lives and examine if we're doing that which is right, and that you would create in us a clean heart. And we love you, Father, and we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.